start the recording. You know, some say it doesn't matter what name we invoke for God. I heartily and vehemently disagree. Because as one reads the Bible, do you realize how many times the name of God is referenced? It's thousands. We are told to pray in His name, to work in His name, to sing to His name. We are told to pray in His name, to spread His name, to praise His name, to speak His name, to proclaim His name, to glorify His name. You can barely take the Bible and just let it fall open to a book and not have there be some references in that book to the name of God. But by the same token, you can take that book and you can go from front cover to back cover and you will not find His name. Oh, there's lots of words for His name. There's lots of references to His name. You'll find words like Lord, Adonai, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim. Oh, you'll find all kinds of names, titles for God, but you will not find His name. None of those are His name. 881 times in the Scriptures, the name of God is used. The name. Now, I'm not talking about a title. If you want to talk about titles or references to God's name, there's thousands. There's just, I think, just under 3,000, as a matter of fact. 2,800 and something, I don't know. Something like, somewhere in that range. But I'm not talking about the references to God's name. I'm not talking about the titles of God, which He has many, all of them very much deserving. I'm talking about His name, when His name is used. And I will tell you, in all 881 times, in the Hebrew, now I'm not talking about English here, I'm talking about Hebrew. The Hebrew Bible, every single time that God uses His name, we see it as the Tetragrammaton, the YHVH, Yod, He, Vav, He. Four consonants, but no vowels. And so without the vowels, we don't know how to pronounce it. But yet, we are told, it's ironic, you know, it's not there. We have YHVH, we have Yod, He, Vav, He. We know what the letters are. Those are the letters, YHVH. We say YHVH. Hebrew says Yod, He, Vav, He. Those are the letters. Okay. But we don't have the vowels, yet the Bible tells us to speak His name. We are told to call upon the name of God, the one true God. And it just always, I had a yearning. I'm in this relationship with God and I want to call Him by name. He tells me to call Him by name, and yet, what is it? It's shrouded in confusion. And then I think, well, that shouldn't be a shocker, should it? You know, who's the author of confusion? Satan. Who wants to suppress the worship of the one true God? Satan. So it just goes with everything else that we see in this world and the deception that Satan would do his level best to hide this from people that want to follow him. So just open your mind. Have eyes to see what has transpired down through history. I'm going to share some of that with you to conceal the name of the true God and see it for what it is, deception, working of circumstances and things by the prince of the power of the air to suppress this. God tells us to glorify His name, to speak His name, to bless others with His name, to praise His name. The psalmist tells us that God resides. He resides in the praises of His name. So it's no shocker that Satan has desired and worked things around to keep that name from being uttered. Of course, it's obvious. It's just one more example and evidence of the deception that he is king of. And he started this deception, guys, a long time ago, thousands of years ago. And so I want to start today where we first find the revelation of God's name. Exodus 3, this is where Moses was drawn to the burning bush and he's having a conversation with God and God is looking to send him to deliver Israel from Egypt. And he says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, well, what's his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses," he's giving his name. He says, "I am who I am." Now that's what we read in English. Okay. We're not reading Hebrew right now. And so what is written there is YHVH, the four letters Yod Heh Vav Heh. And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am," again, YHVH, "has sent me to you." I want to quote from Nehemiah Gordon's book, Shattering the Code of Silence. As you'll recall, I've talked about Nehemiah a few times. He's a Karaite Jew. And he says this in his book. He says, "When God said at the burning bush, 'I am that I am,' he was explaining the significance of his own name. The Hebrew word for 'I am,'" and I'm going to butcher saying these, but I'll try. "The Hebrew word for 'I am' is Eya, derived from the Hebrew root meaning to be." Okay, to be. In biblical Hebrew, and you got to understand, Nehemiah Gordon is one of the foremost Hebrew scholars on this planet, okay? He knows what he's talking about when he's talking about Hebrew, okay? He says, in biblical Hebrew, "I am" really means something like, "I exist." By saying, "I am that I am," God is declaring that he is the one who is, the one who really exists. He is different from the other gods who only exist in the imagination of men. God's name, YHVH, Yod Heh Vav Heh, derives from the exact same Hebrew root as "I am." Now look up here. Strictly speaking, this name is a combination of three forms of this Hebrew root: Haya, Yovah, and Yiyeh, I don't know. These three words mean, respectively, "he was," "he is," and "he will be." When we call him by his name, we are essentially saying he has always existed, he exists now, and he will continue always to exist. What all this means is that "I am" is not God's name. It is the explanation of his name. End quote. So there it is. It's plain and simple. You know, YHWH. It's God's name. 881 times God's name is given in the Bible. And every time it's the same. YHWH. Now there's thousands, like I said, there's thousands more references of God's titles. But His name is 100% consistent. And I say that in one little paragraph. And Nehemiah devoted an entire chapter in his book to that. Because as a Hebrew scholar, he went painfully through the Hebrew and made sure of that in both the Leningrad and Aleppo codexes. This guy is very serious about his Hebrew studies. And when we talk about this name, remember back in the other verse, he said, say to the children of Israel, the God, you know, this God. Well, the next verse right after that tells us plainly who this God is. He says who He is. He says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers. Now he's saying who this God is. He's saying it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And this is my name, YHWH. And this is who I am. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? So we can't get any clearer. The Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a name. And His name is YHWH. Every single time. Without fail. In the Hebrew. It's clear. All we need is the vowels. That's all we need. Just a few vowels.
Can we buy a vowel?
Yeah, we can buy a vowel. But Satan doesn't want us to have the vowels. Because he doesn't want us to be able to do what God commanded us to do. And that is to call upon the name of the Lord. So what did he do? How did we get in this situation where we have this Bible that says, call upon the name of the Lord, and the name is suppressed? How did he get there? How do we have this Bible that okay, it has this sort of contradiction, doesn't it? So, you know, in asking that question, sometimes I get accused of, I've had this conversation. Well, that's blasphemous, Scott. Don't you believe the Bible? Don't you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible? Don't you believe that God has enough power to deliver the Bible to us the way He wants it? I've had people challenge me on that.
You do.
But you know what? Exactly. He did. And He expects us to study and delve in and dive and seek Him. Right? It to me, it's the same way, and this thought just came to me, that the reason why Yeshua spoke in parables. Why? To hide the meaning from people. But the ones whose eyes would be open, the ones that would have their eyes open and their ears open to hear, would hear. And it's the same thing with this Word of God. Of course I believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. Of course I believe that it is inspired by God. But you have to balance that with the plain hard facts that if you say, well, the Bible is absolutely perfect, well, which one are you going to ascribe that to? How many are there? Which one is the one that's perfect? Right? We have to understand, I've had a whole series on this, the history of the Bible and how we got the Bible that we have. I'm going off on a tangent here. But coming back to this, you know, the question is, how did Satan orchestrate this? Why is it that we have this shrouding of the name? How did it happen? Because you know what? Here's an example of why the Bible is not an exact verbatim of these things, right? It's given to us the way it's given to us. Because clearly, when God was at the burning bush and he said to Moses, "Tell them my name," did he say, "Tell them my name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh"? No. He didn't tell Moses to tell the children of Israel that his name was four letters. That's not what he said. So what did he say? So now, just because I say that doesn't mean that I don't think the Bible is true. I'm saying that what is recorded is not complete all the time, and it's been modified by men. Because if that was not the case, we'd have the vowels, wouldn't we? We would have them. So why did they modify it? What happened? To answer that, you need a little bit of history, and you need to understand who is in charge of this Hebrew Bible. The Bible that we get comes from a couple of manuscripts and some things that were written down in Hebrew by Jewish scribes. That's what we have. And then that has been translated over into our language. Okay, with couple little steps in there with Latin and Greek, and here we are. So it was the Jews, it was the scribes that were in charge of this Hebrew writings that we know as the Old Testament. And they made these copies. They wrote each one of them by hand. Now then, early on, as Israel was growing as a nation, they came upon, as they naturally would, other nations. These other nations worshipped pagan gods. Now, these pagan gods were literally just gods that Satan dreamed up and he put in place so that he could get, worship moved away from the true God to kind of himself. They were inspired by him. And guys, that is why the worship of false gods, pagan gods, trying to worship God in the way that the pagan gods were worshipped, it's an abomination to him, right? That's why he doesn't like it. And then that's justifiable. But here's what happened. As these pagan gods began to hear of the God of Israel and understand the mighty power. They go out to war. They had all these stories about the pillar of fire and cloud and all of this, and they knew that their God was guiding them and that their God had power. So what they did in paganism, they didn't have one God. They had a whole bunch of gods. They had a god of this and a god of that, a god of light, a god of dark, a god of rain, a god of sun, it's just all over the place. They had a god for everything. So why not, if this God of Israel is doing all these great things and he's whatever, well, let's add him to the mix. And what began to happen was then these pagans began to pronounce and use the name of the true God. And so what the Jews did is they decided, well, we can't allow that to happen. So we are going to make it a prohibition to speak the name of God. And so they had to have a religious reason for this. People don't listen much to rules, do they? Unless they have some sort of reason for it. So the rabbis made this thing and they said, look, if the name of God is too holy to speak, it's too holy to speak, it's too holy to write, we're not going to write it down anymore, we're not going to speak it anymore, and we're going to erase it from from the Hebrew language and from the Hebrew writings so that the pagans will forget about it and they will not be able to utter the name of the true God. So this idea, guys, that the name of God is too holy to speak or too holy to write is nowhere found in the Bible. It's not there. It was conjured up by the rabbis as a strategy by the Jews in order to suppress it from being used by the pagans because they didn't want it defiled. So, I mean, there's some honor in that, but there's a problem because the Bible does not forbid the use of the name. Does not forbid speaking the name. God actually commands us, instructs us to call him by name and to confess his name before him. Now there's lots of examples. For time, I'm going to give you one. 1 Kings 8. When your people, Israel, are defeated before an enemy because they've sinned against you, are we not defeated by our enemy when we are, you know, before God calls us and we repent? We're defeated before our enemy. When they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, when they turn back to you and confess your name, it says God will hear in heaven, forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them back to the land in which you gave their fathers. There is salvation in the name of God. The people were to go into the temple and confess their sins and confess the name of YHVH. They were to pray to who? The Bible says to YHVH. And to the true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, that YHVH, one who was and is, and who will be, will then hear them in heaven and forgive their sin. That's what this says. They were to call upon the name of God. So this idea that it was too holy to speak is not biblical. Now the rabbis knew this, but they had instituted this ban. Think about after this was put in place. Now you have all of these rabbis after the fact, and they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? They wanted to preserve it, right? But they weren't supposed to speak it. So what did they do? Well, every 7 years, the high priest would gather the other priests together, and one at a time, they would have them come up and they would whisper. They would pronounce. They would whisper the name of God. Okay? With the vows, the whole thing. Right? And so it was preserved. Understand this. It was no secret. It was a secret, is what I'm saying. It was not lost. It wasn't lost at all. It was just a secret because their heart was to keep the pagans from utilizing it. So that's a key here. Understand that. Because this meant that the scribes knew the name. They just didn't speak it. They only heard it once every 7 years, and the high priest would speak it to each of them once every 7 years. So these scribes, and this is what you got to think through, the scribes knew the name. Now, think about being a scribe, and you are writing the Bible in Hebrew. 881 times you come across the name of God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I write, I don't think about every word. I don't have to think about how to spell every word. It's in my head, and I just write. Okay? I write the words. I don't spell each word. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying, right? You don't spell every week because you just do it. Now, imagine being a scribe and writing out the Old Testament, and every time you come to that name of God, you know what it is. Now you have to stop yourself and suppress and not write it, but just write YHVH, Yod Heh Vav Heh. Well, that's what they did. They knew the name of God, but they suppressed it. 881 times they had to resist writing it out. And they did that. Almost. Almost. Guys, we have two complete texts of the Hebrew scriptures. There is the Leningrad Codex and the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex being the most important. It's every single Bible that we have has either been translated from or heavily looked against the Aleppo Codex. All modern versions of the Bible are either directly or indirectly based on it. Okay. In these codexes, the name of God is written as YHVH. Almost every time. Almost. I say almost. So here is a bit of Nehemiah's story. Because Nehemiah is one of the foremost Hebrew scholars in the world, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, he was called in to translate them. He was called in to study them. He was called in to compare them against the Leningrad Codex. That codex was actually removed from the museum and handed to Nehemiah Gordon for him to study. Okay? This was no small thing. This was many years ago. And as he was going through that codex, and looking at, there was some scripture in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and he was referring that back to the Leningrad Codex, and it included the name of God. And right in front of his eyes, to his astonishment, it was written out in full, vowels included. That scribe had just automatically just wrote it and missed putting on the brakes and just writing YHVH right in front of him. And for years he carried this, because in his mind he read the name of God, and he thought he knew what it was. But he subscribes to what the Bible tells him: by two or more witnesses everything shall be established. So he did not come out with this. He talked about it in private. He, you know, thought it through and everything. But he wasn't going to allow just one witness. So we fast forward years later. I think it was, I don't remember, but I think it was a decade or more. It was quite some time. And he was studying at the university in Israel. And him and a couple other guys were doing some, I forget now what the study was about, what the purpose of it was. It may have had something again to do with the Dead Sea Scrolls, but I don't remember. But at any rate, once again, this man was given the Aleppo Codex to study through God incidents, right? Here is this Karaite Jew, okay, given this Aleppo Codex. And you know what? The same thing happened. He's studying down through this, and he says, I've got the opportunity. So he knew what was in the Leningrad. So the first thing he did was go to the Aleppo Codex, to the place where the other scribe in the Leningrad Codex was, and said, oh, I want to see what's there. YHVH. It's not there. So he takes days and going through the Aleppo Codex. And lo and behold, in another place, there it is. Vowels and all. Two different places. Why? Because, of course, the scribes are not going to make the mistake in the same place, right? You know, there it is. There it is. Two different scriptures. Each of those scribes had goofed up in a different place. Each one of them, 880 times, faithfully stopped themselves and wrote YHVH. And just once in each one of them, they messed up. And so he had the confirmation he needed. So very excited, this guy goes to basically one of the most respected rabbis in Israel. And he wants to have this conversation with him. He wants to tell him what he found. So he's tiptoeing and he's kind of coming into this slowly. Well, what's he going to think? And then he just gets very bold and he proclaims to this rabbi. He goes, "The name of God is Yahovah." And the rabbi was like, "Yeah. No kidding, Sherlock." This was no barn burner revelation. Why? They know the name. The Orthodox, the hierarchy of the Orthodox Jewish rabbis, they know the name of God. It was never lost. It was just a secret. But here, look, guys, open your eyes. Look what God is doing. He's taking a Karaite Jew who has met up with this guy that's a Baptist preacher. And you know, a Karaite only believes in the written word. That's the difference between a Karaite Jew and an Orthodox Jew. A Karaite Jew does not believe in the oral law. They only believe in the biblical Hebrew record, period. And so this whole idea to a Karaite, to Nehemiah, that a rabbi can say, "This name is too holy." That became part of the Mishnah, became part of their law. A Karaite doesn't uphold to that. They don't care. Fact is, Nehemiah looks at the Bible just like we're doing right now and saying, no, that the Bible says the exact opposite. We're to proclaim the name. We're to put it out there. We're to bless people with the name of the Lord. We're to confess our sins in the name of the Lord. All of these things. And so now here we have this Karaite, and the secret is out. Why? Why right now? And why this man that is bonded with this Baptist minister? Because it's time. That's why. According to God's timing, it's time for his name to be proclaimed. For the power of his name to begin to overcome the darkness of this world. It's not too holy to speak. We're commanded to speak it. And we're going to read this in Numbers chapter 6. I want you to look at this. This is called the priestly blessing. Numbers 6. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel.'" He said, "Say to them, speak this to them." He said, "The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." As I said, this is what is known to the Jews as the priestly blessing. This was to be recited over the people by the priests during worship when they gathered together in synagogue. Every Jew knows this blessing by heart. They've heard it over and over again. The priests here were commanded to fulfill what God had instructed them to do here in verse 27. Put my name on the children of Israel. They were commanded to do this so that God's name would be put on the children. And he says, and I will bless them. The priestly blessing. Now then, the earliest complete manuscript that we're talking about here, the Hebrew text, is only about 1,000 years old, maybe a little older than that. Okay. Now, we have fragments that are older. The Dead Sea Scrolls are about 2,300 years old, but we just have fragments. We also have two silver scrolls that were found in a burial cave in the 1980s. Very recently, just 40-some-odd, whatever that math is, 40-some-odd years ago. Those are about 350 years older than the Dead Sea Scrolls. So our manuscripts complete are about 1,000. We've got fragments that are about, 1,300 years older than that. And then another 350 years older than that yet are these two little silver scrolls. Okay, they were unrolled in the 80s. Here they are at the museum in Israel. They are tiny scrolls. And what do they contain? The priestly blessing. This makes the priestly blessing the oldest biblical passage to survive the ravages of time. What is extraordinary is that on this tiny scroll, in the priestly blessing, is God's name, Yahovah. Not Lord, not Adonai, not translated to Lord, but Yahovah, the oldest Hebrew text known to man. You understand that this dying man's wish was that he would be buried with the name of Yahovah in this blessing. He wanted to be buried with God's holy name. God, I want you guys now to look at this priestly blessing of our God, Yehovah, as it should be in Numbers. And I want you to accept this blessing. Because he said, the Lord said, spoke to Moses, and he said, speak, say this to them. Yahovah bless you and keep you. May Yahovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Can there be any greater blessing? And as it said in verse 27, so they shall put the name of Yahovah on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And there you have it. The true name of God within the priestly blessing commanded to be spoken over the children of Israel. But now fast forward a little bit after that proclamation by the ancient rabbis to not speak the name. And yet now then the rabbis have this problem, don't they? Because they read in their Hebrew text that they're to give this blessing. They're commanded to give this blessing. And now the rabbis have said, oh, well, you can't speak it. So they're stuck in this rock and hard place. They've got this conflict. It says to speak the name, but then the rabbis say, we can't. What's a good priest to do? So they came up with this. It's a hand signal. They determined if they couldn't say it, they could at least put it out there this way. YHVH in sign language, I guess. They were imitating, like this, the Hebrew letters with their hands. Isn't that interesting? That's what they would do. So when they would give the priestly blessing, when they were saying the Lord bless and keep you, they would put out this hand signal. And just as an interesting little side note, I don't know if I've shared this with Cheryl, and I don't know if I've shared this with the group, but take a look at that hand signal, just one of them. And then just turn that upside, right side up. Does it look familiar, Star Trek fans? See, Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock, was a Jew. And he even boiled down the priestly blessing. Live long and prosper. That was Leonard Nimoy's way of putting his faith into that show. It's pretty amazing. All this to say, guys, that God's name is not lost. It's been suppressed, but no longer. God is seeing fit at this time to cause it to be revealed, because there is power in His name, and if there is ever a time where we need the power of God on this earth, it's now. Guys, He dwells in the praises of His name. We are to call upon His name. We're not to stay in the dark on this, clinging to traditions spawned by the deceptions of Satan the devil. We're to come out of them. We're told to come out of this world, out from underneath its deceptions, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. This priestly blessing, I'm telling you, is not just for Jews, is it? Of course not. It was said, speak to this to the children of Israel. And there's something that just so many people miss, and to me it's just so incredibly simple. We have theological debates about the spiritual. Are you a spiritual Israelite? Well, come on. God says that He is establishing a kingdom. And He's establishing a nation. That's the same word. Come on, it's just two different words. Nation, kingdom, they're the same thing. So the nation of God, His name is Israel. He named His nation Israel. He named His kingdom Israel. If you are part of that kingdom, if you are part of that nation, then you are part of Israel, and that makes you an Israelite. He said, speak this to the children of Israel. You are a child of Israel. This blessing is for you from Yahovah to bless you, to keep you. Look at this. Look at this. Because it's not, you know, you want to say, well, I'm not a physical Israelite. So what? Isaiah 56. Also, the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to Yehovah to serve Him and to love the name of Yahovah. I changed this. Yes. But it's YHVH here. He's saying that those who will love the name of Yehovah, to be His servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast My covenant, even them I will bring to My holy mountain and make them joyful in My house of prayer. How about that? Join to Yehovah. Love the name of Yehovah. Honor His Sabbath. Hold fast the covenant, it says. And then this is a dual prophecy of something yet future to bring those people who love His name and love His Sabbath, to bring them into His holy mountain, the New Jerusalem. Praise Yehovah! Come on! God's name is important, and we're not to be ashamed of it. We're not to fear speaking it and being different. We're commanded to proclaim it. Jehovah is making it known to us at this time, and there is power in it. There is power in it that Satan does not want us knowing about or calling out to, or he would not have gone to such pains to suppress it. But Jehovah wants us to. It's one more deception that he is choosing in his time to unveil. And not just, you know, to this little group, certainly. I mean, we're slow to this party, right? But praise God that he has just had mercy on us enough to say, yeah, come and be part of this too. This is no different than unveiling the pagan holidays for what they truly are, for unveiling what the cross meant to paganism, or even the subtle relationship that the supposed name of Jesus has to do to a pagan god. Many will come out there and say, well, it moved this way through the transliterations to give homage to Jesus, the god Zeus. You know, look, I don't care about that argument. You know, who cares? You know how they got to that was they said, well, this is what the Hebrew was, and this is what the Latin was, and then we went from Latin to Greek, and then we went from Greek down to English, and this is why it's like that, because it really doesn't mean that. And you know, and there's just all this discussion. But all this deception has just kept us as well from proclaiming the true name of our Savior as well. Shouldn't we know the name of our should we know the name of our Savior? I think so. I mean, Peter thought so. He says, let it be known to all you. Slow down. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua, Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, for there is no other name. Name. Not title. Name under heaven given among men by which we should be saved. We must be saved. Peter said there's only one name under heaven by which we must be saved. So is it this shock? Should we just be sitting in just shock and wonder that Satan has done what he's done to suppress that name too? But shouldn't we know it? I mean, I thought so. Guys, this scripture right here is what set me on a journey some, I don't know, many years ago, first looking into this. I looked at this and I said, well, I want to be saved. If there's only one name under heaven by which I can be saved, I want to know what it is. So I started looking into it. And it didn't take very long. I mean, this is a very small little cursory study to figure out it isn't Jesus. I mean, they didn't even have J's. Right. That sound, it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. It was perfectly clear very soon that when Mary called our Savior to dinner, the sound Jesus did not come out of her mouth. Now, it's very easy to see how it happened through those translations and transliterations. I get it. And I'm not up here saying that to say Jesus is some sort of sin or exercise in paganism. Silly. I'm not saying that at all. Yahovah has honored the name of Jesus in people's hearts by ignorance. For a long time, there's a lot of people out there that have been saved through the name, actually the title of Jesus, referring to who he is. In ignorance, not knowing that that's not his name, to Yahovah, didn't matter. Didn't matter. Because Jesus, if you know, in English, is a perfectly sound description of him. To say Jesus is pretty much saying in Greek, God who saves. God who saves. True enough. But it's not his name. So if you're going to invoke his name, whether it be for healing, for salvation, for putting out demons, or even prayer, it's not his name. It's just plain and simple factual information. It's not his name. But again, Jehovah looks on the heart. And if you don't know, you don't know. And like I said, Jesus has saved a lot of people. But now Jehovah is revealing some things in these last days. Take prayer, for example. It says in John, and this is Yeshua speaking. He says, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, in prayer, in his name, he will give you." Yeshua told people to pray in his name, not his title or his description, in his name. Now, guys, I have people just say, "Look, Scott, you don't know what his name is." Well, yes, I do. And I'm not the only one. There's millions of people around this globe that know his name. There's millions of people that want to argue about that name. And I'll tell you why. I already gave you a reason why. Because they start with Hebrew, and then they go to Latin, and then they go to Greek, and then they get down to here, and we have this whole argument about, well, you're not right because this is a translation and that's not transliteration, and this really should be that, and this one, and we get all involved in these discussions, and guys, guess what? None of it matters. Why? Because we have a Hebrew copy of Matthew. And in the Hebrew copy of Matthew, we have Yeshua's name in Hebrew. And guess what? The vowels and the consonants, they're all there. And there's a direct transliteration of those sounds in Hebrew to English. We write it in English.
I'll just interject here. Yes, we write it in English, but when we write it with English letters, but those letters are designed to recreate the same sounds that are written in Hebrew. It's a transliteration, and it's a direct transliteration from the Hebrew directly to English. So when we're saying Yeshua, we are saying the same sounds as if we are reading Hebrew. We are actually speaking the exact same thing that Mary would have spoken, calling him for dinner. It's his name. It's his name. Now, I wanted also to make the point that this is not a pivotal doctrine. It's not something that we divide over like many are trying to make it to be. We don't get crazy over it. That's one side. But on the other side, we're not to ignore truth and revelation when God gives it to us either. We are to grow in grace and knowledge. We are to exercise our ability to put aside human tradition and deception and move toward God. And guys, we need that ability because we have a long way to go. There is a lot of things, a lot of rotten thinking that we need to put aside and we need to leave behind and we need to grow and move on. You know, we all want a close relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but every close relationship that I have, I call them by their name, not their title. You know, Donald Trump is president now, so people call him Mr. President. It's his title now, and it's appropriate to do so. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I'll bet you Melania Trump and his kids, they still call him Don or Donnie or Daddy. You know, at the end of the day, Jesus is a great title for Yeshua. He is indeed God who saves. But his name, for those who are in a relationship with him, is Yeshua. Yeshua the Messiah. Yeshua Messiah. Jesus, God who saves, Christ the Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah. The name of our God is Yahovah. Yeshua is one with Yehovah. Yeshua is Yehovah. Yehovah is Yeshua. Yehovah is the Father. The Father and is one with Yeshua. So says the Bible. So I join with David, the man after Yehovah's own heart, in saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Praise Yehovah. Amen.